Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
The Apostle Paul was in a situation in Acts chapter 25. He was on a journey to a certain place. It was going to be about a 3-month journey, and before they even set off, Paul said to the captain, the pilot, "I don't think we should go on this journey. It's a bad time of the year. It's hurricane time and all that." And the captain overrode what he wanted. They set off. Then all of a sudden, a great storm arose. Probably the only way we could explain it was like a hurricane that hits the northern Queensland, just consistent. And they were in this boat and they jettisoned into the cargo, the food. In the end, they put ropes around the boat just to hold it together. And they didn't know what to do because day after day, it was consistent and it kept coming at them. And I want to read this scripture to you, found in Acts 27 and verse 20. And it says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest or no small hurricane beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up." They just said, "Oh, we're gone." Imagine, I don't know how many days, it says many days, many days. Sometimes we go through many days and we just kind of think, I just think hope's gone. I don't think this is going to turn around. I don't think that child, that family member is going to turn around. I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how our finances are going to turn around. But after long abstinence from food, and I used to read that and think that's very spiritual. The only reason they didn't eat food was they were seasick. Maybe. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men," I love this, "men, you should have listened to me. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." And this is what I love. "And now I urge you to take heart." Paul trusted in the living God, in the Word of God. But then something happened that changed it from just a trust and a belief to a knowing. "Take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, but whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you and all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as I have told you.'" And as the story goes on, it was as Paul had said, not one life was lost. You see, if we allow the Word of God to dwell in our heart and we get God conscious, God can quicken something in your life that can release faith, divine energy to turn your situation around. This church stands here today as a testimony of faith, of God's faithfulness, of your faithfulness, but also that quickened word within our life that God is for us and moving us forward. You see, when God quickens and makes alive something in your life, it's always consistent with his word. What God spoke to Paul there, it wasn't scripture and verse, but it was consistent with his word. Because he said, "Come on, fear is going to be dispelled and I'm going to save you." Does that sound like God? So every word that God speaks and quickens within your life, it needs to sound like God. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, that sounds like God. You know, my people used to say things about my father, good things. And they used to say, "Yeah, that sounds like Dad." Because he had a consistent pattern of the way he responded to things. And I believe that God has a consistent pattern of the way he responds to things. That sounds like God. You know, if you feel that, man, God's quickened something in your life and it's outside the bounds of what God would do, you've got to pull back and say, I don't think, rationally, I don't think that is God. Like if you feel God has told me to go and kill someone, bam, wrong one. Are you hearing me today? How many times have God told them to do it? No, God didn't tell them. There's sinister voices. Well, God told me, you need 50 bucks? There's a purse, go and help yourself. That's not God. You might say, yeah, hey, I'm just trying to help you. It's extreme. Or some people say, oh, God told me to pull back from fellowship, not to fellowship anymore. Bam, that's not a quickened word of God. That's a hurt spirit. That's someone who's got lazy. That's someone who's lost their way. That's someone who's fat and lazy spiritually. Because that's not God. God does not say fellowship and then say don't fellowship. So every word that God quickens within your life is consistent in the canon of his word. He never says anything that's inconsistent with his word. Are you with me today? So I just want to encourage you today, church. Let's read the word. Let's hear the word. Let's get familiar with the word. So as things are quickened within our life, hey man, we know that's of God. It brings strength, it brings encouragement, it brings confidence, it brings clarity, it brings divine energy. This is a word from God. I know when I got married, standing at the altar 39 years ago, will she still love me when I'm 64? And you wonder, where did that come from? Don't know. But God gave me a spirit of faith. God did something in our hearts today, and that you hang on to it. And over the years, God has quickened things in my spirit regarding my children, where they were kind of going away from God and struggling and fasting and waiting on God. Then God drops a word within your spirit and he says, they will rise up to be men and women of God. I want to encourage you, parents today, I encourage you not only to believe God for your children, to get a word of faith within your spirit that you can hang on to the promises of God. We do that within our life. It's how we live for our church, for our families, for our finance. We believe God. For the word of God is living. Hebrews 4:12. Look at this. For the word of God is living and it's powerful. Look at me. What does it say? The word of God is dead, powerless, blunter than any blunt axe. Couldn't pierce a piece of plastic. No, it says the word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Division of soul and spirit. It says the word of God in the King James Version, the word of God says it's quick, which means it's alive. We used to sing a song years ago, God's not dead. Remember this, Joe? God's not dead. God's not dead. You're old. Okay. So the word of God is quick. It's alive. It talks about that the word of God is powerful. It's filled with divine energy. The word of God, listen to this, it pierces the heart and causes men to repent. It says the word of God is sharp. It's like a laser. The word of God is the most dreaded thing that we can use against the devil. A metal sword gets blunt with the use, but the word, the sword, gets sharper with the use. Doesn't diminish. Why don't you just listen to this? It's not stuff that I would normally preach about, but hear this. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Thousands of people were listening to Peter preach. And Peter got there and preached about what Jesus done, how the religious people killed him, but God rose him from the dead. And when all the people heard Peter's sermon, they said this in Acts 2:37. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the Peter and the rest of the apostles said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And they said to Peter and the brethren, "What shall we do?" What means it was cut to the heart? You ever been cut? You ever been reading the word and said, "Oh man"? Someone ever said to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, man, that just brought conviction to you? Just cut your soul a bit. And sometimes we pull back from this because the church is, we're an encouragement, we're full of exhortation, and that's what we are. But I want to tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit, when you hear the word, it'll cut you. It may be about your relationships, how you're treating people, or it may be about I need to repent there, I need to ask forgiveness, or I need to start honoring God and getting into His word or tithing, and it begins to cut you. It's amazing about God, He's able to cut you and He's able to heal you. And they said to Peter, "What shall we do?" They were convicted. They were convinced of their wrong. And this is what Peter said. I love it. And it's a word to each one of us today. Repent. We don't hear that word very often. But I believe it's still a very biblical word. We need to know how to get on our face before God and repent of our rotten attitude, of our laziness, our lethargicness. I know this doesn't apply to you. It's a 9 a.m. service, but you know what I'm meaning. And even sometimes I've got to get back on my face before God and just say, "God, I'm in such a good place. It's almost like a place of comfort. But God, I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to not be alert. So God, I repent before you." Because repent means you're going this way and now you turn around and go the other direction. It's not just an emotional thing, it's a spirit thing. Because if you just repent emotionally, when you walk away, it's okay. But when you repent from your spirit, you'll carry through. And he says, "Let each one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What am I trying to say today? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When God quickens something to you, it may not be John 3:16. Sometimes He does quicken the Scripture, but He'll quicken something in your life that gives you hope and help you to move forward. The Word of God says, take up the whole armor of God. I just wonder, what's the thing that you need to adjust today? I'm not telling you how to do anything at all, but as we've been speaking today, has the Holy Spirit just been nudging your heart regarding the subject matter? And let me say it again. Because in our modern world, people may forget this. Or let me say this to you. Where is it? It's so important. So important. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Look at me, church. We're the foundation and pillar of the truth. What does it mean? That we've got to take the truth. And when the community looks at us, they just think they're uncompromising. Yeah, their methodology changes, but man, they stand true on the Word of God. Not to hurt people, but people may get hurt. But this is what we base our life on. Sometimes the church becomes a laughing stock because we get away from the Word of God and we begin to pick and choose what we feel God is saying. But I want to encourage you. You know, some people say, oh, yeah, I believe some of the Word. Well, what part don't you believe? What part do you believe? We either accept the whole lot or reject the whole lot. And I choose to accept the whole lot because it is found true and reliable. How we're to respond to people, morality, how to live for God, how to build community. And then it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see, this word used to be what the community was based on. Now in America, they've kind of taken it out of schools and they want to take it out of our schools. They want to put a caption on our freedom of speech and so we can't say things that may be unacceptable. Just one little thing, and I don't want to hit you overhead with stuff. In the Bible where it says that Adam and Eve, their lives were lived together as a man and woman, if this vote goes yes, we will not be able to say that anymore. A hit on religious freedom. There's a tip of the iceberg that is coming. I'm not saying that to put fear into anyone. I spent 3 days this week with top leaders in Australia talking about the bills that are before us. And it just really stirred in my heart again that this whole series we're doing on spiritual warfare has been designed by God that we may know where we stand. I'm not going to get angry with anybody, but while I have a voice, nothing is going to change my convictions. I am not arrogant. I am not angry. But bad things happen when good people stay silent. This is the time, stand as a Christian. Not only for you, but for your future. Let the word be strong in your heart, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.